Joel chapter 2, commencing at verse 25. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Moving on to the New Testament, John chapter 5, commencing at verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralysed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learnt he'd been in this condition for such a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the sick man replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." Let's pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to say thank you to Tim for this opportunity to bring God's word to you, my friends at Newcastle Baptist Church. And I hope it's all going well with your new minister, who's no longer new, and I'm sure he's doing a great job guiding you through this pandemic. I want to do some reflection today on these words from Joel chapter 2. And ask about locusts and what locusts mean to you. I've really had no experience of locusts in my life. I want to share three stories with you. When I was younger, my brother used to have stick insects and I used to look at them and think they're pretty gross, but he quite liked them. When my son was at university, we had a swarm of ladybirds in his bedroom. And by a swarm, I mean probably about 25 or who counted them. They seemed to be everywhere and we would get rid of them and we'd celebrate and then they would just come back. No one knew how they got back in, but suddenly they were back. And recently, while driving around Herefordshire, I was driving along and suddenly there was a hopper on my knee. A grasshopper, and it was jumping from my knee to my face. I managed to sort of get the car safely off to the side of the road, open the door and get rid of the grasshopper from the car. That's it. That's my experiences really of insects of a level that's brought me discomfort and no locusts there. So what does it mean? This swarming of locusts. What does it mean to us to understand something about what Joel is talking about? When I think of a plague of locusts, I think of Exodus chapter 10, and the eighth plague that was visited on Egypt. We know the story, how Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and kept coming with the words of the Lord to let my people go. And Pharaoh refused to let the people of Israel go. And each time a plague visited the people of Egypt. And the eighth plague was the locusts. It followed the hail. Now the hail would have completely wiped out the land. All green growing things would have been destroyed through the hail. But anything that had survived now had no chance with the locusts. The locusts would have wiped out all green things and the seed for next year's harvest. Anything that was left would have gone. Egypt would have had to replant to see any progress in the following year. Such was the devastation of the locusts. Did God send the locusts? Well, we know for the nation of Egypt, yes, God sent the locusts. But what about here, when the prophet Joel is writing about restoring the years that the locusts have eaten? When we sit down and imagine God, is he a God that sends locusts? Is he a God that wreaks havoc on our lives, our church, our family, our community? Or is God in the business of restoration? God is always in the business of salvation and restoration. He's on the journey with us, doing that hard work of bringing new life. In Amos chapter 9, verse 14, we read, I will bring my people back from Israel. They will rebuild and their ruined cities and live in them. This is our God. He brings people back. He rebuilds. He rebuilds ruins. We know the verse well from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings like eagles. That soaring feeling. God allowing us to rise above the old things, to see things from a new perspective, soaring higher, a better place, a higher place. The God we serve has a plan for his people, a plan of working things out in his time. Our God, who is a God of covenant, in the business of holiness, healing, restoration, bringing shalom to his people. And yet, in Joel chapter 2, God quite clearly confesses that he sent the locusts. Let me be honest with you. I do have an issue with this. I would have been happier if God had said, as a result of the devastation the locusts brought, this is what I will do. But I can't escape the fact that God says quite clearly in the text that he sent the locusts. You know, and I know, that there are people out there who would say that God sent this pandemic. Now, I find that a difficult pill to swallow. Does God send the locusts? Did God send the pandemic? What is God like? When I turn my mind to God, I believe that the main lens I have to see God is through Jesus. In John chapter 40, when the disciples came to Jesus and Philip steps up and says, show us the Father, that'll be enough. What Jesus says is highly significant. He doesn't say, okay guys, pick up your Torah, let's start at Genesis, let's particularly work our way through Leviticus and Deuteronomy. He doesn't say that. Jesus looks at Philip and says, it's me, hey, it's me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How long have you got to be with me until you know that I and the Father are one? I am in the Father. The Father is in me. I believe that what Jesus says to his disciples on that day, when they said, show us the Father, he says to us when we think about a locust sending God. Do we worship a God of destruction, a God of war, havoc, chaos? One who smites his people and turns his face away. Is this what God is like? Surely our lens is Jesus. We see God through the eyes of Jesus. I believe Jesus truly reveals to us who God is. He is the one who brings calm to the storm, peace on our journey, deliverance to the oppressed, freedom for the captives, healing for the sick. I believe Jesus is our lens to see the Father. We read in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For all things on heaven and earth were created by him. All things, whether visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Here, Paul's words to the Colossians help us to understand something deeper about the unity of the Father and the Son. Here, Paul helps us to gain profound insight into the fact that Jesus gives us insights into God. If we want to understand God, we need to understand Jesus. If we want to study God, We need to study Jesus. If we want to follow God, we need to follow Jesus. And yet, I hesitate to use these verses from Colossians because of what Paul says about all things being created through him and for him. We're back to the locusts and the pandemic. All things. It's like this circle that we're going round. Surely not. I don't want to go round this circle, Lord. I don't want to get stuck here. I don't want to be left with any questions about a God who sends locusts, a God who might have a hand in this virus. And yet, though this blows my mind, and I'm left raising my hands to God saying, I see through a glass darkly. I do not understand your ways. And yet I know that in the middle of all this, that you are a God of restoration. I turn back to Jesus, and I see in Jesus a God who brings calm to a storm, who brings healing to the sick. Jesus who saves, restores, and continues the work of the Father. The God of Joel, the God of Exodus chapter 10, the God revealed in Jesus is the God of 2020. The God who understands our current situation. He is a God of restoration. He is a God who will help us to rebuild. Totally, completely, making things new again. I've got to confess, I'm a bit of a fan of The Repair Shop on the BBC. I'm sure many of you have seen the programme. And it's a programme where people will bring things that are precious to them, that are broken and damaged, usually things that are quite old. And in the hands of master craftsmen, they are restored. There's always that beautiful part in the programme where the person returns once the restoration has taken place, and there's the unveiling and the handing back of this precious object. As people receive their object back, there is much emotion, disbelief that this kind of restoration has taken place. Friends, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? How much more will your Heavenly Father restore to you that which you've lost? This was the year of my 60th birthday, which I know you're all sat looking at the screen now thinking, that's incredible, but it's true. And it was going to be a great big party. We were going up to Scotland to have a big Clanmacaï celebration, but no, that didn't happen. It's not just me whose plans have gone awry, yours have too. You'll know the things you were looking forward to that have not happened because of the situation we find ourselves in. For some of you, those plans have meant a loss of a job, struggling with income, struggling to pay mortgage, finding it hard to homeschool your kids, a loss of contact with loved ones, experience of loneliness and isolation. Or maybe, tragically, you've lost loved ones, either at the hands of the virus or some other reason, and you've been denied the opportunity to say the goodbye that they deserved. We've got to pause for a moment and say, Lord, we want to take up with you these verses in Joel chapter 2, that you say you will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Because it seems for many of us that this year has been eaten. Our plans, our dreams, our hopes, our securities have gone, and we face a time of uncertainty ahead. It's talked about recession, not just national, but international. Another period of lockdown, uncertainty and concern, and Lord, what will Christmas look like? We call on God and challenge him, if we dare, through the words that he gave us through the prophet Joel. Let us seek a God who brings restoration, who journeys with us. When Pharaoh eventually decided to let the people go, it took Israel 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They were not the finished article when they were given freedom from Egypt. They were left to begin the work. A lot of their old ways had to die in the desert. Their release from slavery was not just the moment they left Egypt, but it was a journey that kept on in their hearts as they journeyed. Restoration takes time. It takes hard lessons. They didn't even get the privilege of having their old leader to take them into the promised land. For a new time, there was a new man, a whole new beginning. This land flowing with milk and honey, where God would bless them, was a time when restoration was complete. It was no easy journey. Our God is in the business of healing, turning mourning into dancing, bringing life from death, supplying bread from heaven, making water flow from rocks, releasing streams in the desert. Our God is all about restoration. 2020. I believe God is with his people, and God will restore what the locusts have eaten. Our God is faithful. Our God is with us in this process of restoration. Our God will renew our hearts and enable us to build again. Let's remember, though, to look at Jesus, to see that in the journey in Christ, God comes to us and brings us peace. But just before I close, let me just bring you back to John chapter 5. Remember the man at the pool of Bethesda, the man who'd been there many years, unable to get into the water, unable to be healed. Jesus asked a simple question. Do you want to get well? Do you want to be restored? Do you want to walk again? Do you want to live again? It's a question, I believe, that comes to us. Are we focusing on the locust eating or on the restoration of God? May we all see the restoration of God in these days. May we experience his generous touch and healing, renewing us, building us, and preparing us for what lies ahead. Let's pray. Almighty God, the locusts have done enough damage in our lives and times. We ask for your restoration. For our world, our country, our economy, our families, our church, our health. For all that's been lost, in our sadness and frustration, we turn to you. Lord, restore to us the joy of our salvation. May we know this day that even though we often fail to understand your ways, your love is constant. May we learn more of you as we look to Jesus. May we grow closer to you as we grow closer to your Son. Thank you, Father, that you hear and answer our prayer. Amen.